Good morning. That was very weak. Thank you, Will. Good morning. That's what I'm talking about. We got to have some energy in this room. We got to get it going. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Ken Mullis was asking me, he said, this seems, I hope I don't offend anybody here, but he said, this seems a little bit like a Georgia Tech game. It's like nobody's here when they start, and then they kind of show up a little bit later on. Maybe that'll happen this morning. But you're here, and I'm glad you're here. And this is a long way different from Georgia Tech, I promise you that. Yeah. Speaking of football, thank you. Is there anybody in the house that knows how to kick a football? Because we're looking for a kicker. My team is. No, we did great. Awesome. I don't know if you stayed up and watched it last night. It was a late, but it was worth every minute of it. Everything was good. I was riding high, then I came in this morning. I got humbled because I try my best every Sunday to bring Miss Callie in when she gets here on Sunday mornings. And this morning I had some other duties and I didn't make it. And I came in and she told me just a while ago, she said, if I'd have only had a pink slip this morning, I'd have given it to you. Thank the Lord she didn't. All right. Everybody ready to worship this morning? All right. I'm going to give you just a little mojo this morning. Okay. The question I have for you this morning before we get started is, did you come to receive or to give? Receive or give? You know, a lot of times we come to church and we just expect these guys who have practiced and got it all together to give it to us, and we expect Buren to be ready and he's going to bring the word to us, and we sit back there and we kind of do it unconsciously sometimes where we just sit back and we think, okay, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. See, the mojo for today is you'll get more if you give, and then it'll come back. All right? So I want you to engage yourself during all of this time. Listen, raise your hands, get involved, clap your hands. When Buren is speaking, cheer him on. Amens and attaboys and anything you want to do. That's like saying, sick them to a dog. I'm telling you, it goes. But you got to do the giving, and then it comes back to you. So you put into it, and let's see what happens. Let's do it this morning. Thank you.
Let's stand and worship.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one. Never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Remains.
fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Talking about a lot about, you know, your words and your thoughts, and that's one of my biggest struggles, is stopping my thoughts before I let it overwhelm me and let it become a feeling and an emotion. It has been a practice that I've struggled with for years, and the more persistent I am and the more I try, the more I've been able to conquer. And as of late, when I have those moments and I overcome that anger or that fear, it's like I step back and I go, oh wow, that was you, God. That was you. I allowed you in that situation, and you became that on my lips. You became that patience. You became that kindness. You became that love on my lips. And this song talks about you. Your praises will ever be on our lips. And I was talking to Kitty. I said, don't you think that it's not just praise going, hallelujah, we love you, but it's in what we say. It passes our lips. The Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things are praises to Him. Those are thanksgivings. Those are love. All of those things. And so I just want to rejoice in all of those moments I've been getting, those God moments of that Holy Spirit speaking through me to praise Him and to love and to give those things out to other people. Amen.
Like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old, and your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Ever be on my lips, ever be on.
Thank you. Actually, all these songs are just awesome worship songs. This next one we're going to sing is called We're No Longer Slaves. And I feel like that I could probably preach a sermon on this song because I just think it's probably one of the most powerful songs that I've ever done here at church. And I was thinking earlier of how I could lead into this song, and I really didn't know. And I got backstage, and Bobby Joe pointed out the scripture here. Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt when they came upon the water. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea." Later on down here it says, "Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all the night, turned the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea, dry ground with walls of water on each side." In this song it says, "You split the seas so I can walk right through it, and my fears are drowned in perfect love." You know, there's days, every day, when we're afraid or we fear different things. Continuous battle for me. Now I'm even dealing with it with my children, you know, and I have to tell them not to worry. And I started thinking about worrying the other day and how worry can just corrupt everything inside of you. And this song here about no longer a slave to fear, you know, I'm going to keep singing this and I'm going to keep believing it. Today I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to the rest of my life, and I'm going to tell my kids, we don't have anything to fear. He has our back. He has our back. He will split the seas to walk right through whatever situation that you're in. He will do it for you. And it is such a powerful thing to know that we serve such an awesome, awesome, awesome God that'll do that for me, and he'll do that for you. So I just pray this morning, Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Father, that you're there to split the seas open, God. You're there in every situation. You love us dearly, and we love you, God, and we are just thankful. We are very thankful this morning. And God, as your presence just fills this place this morning, God, I just pray that you'll touch each one of us, God, and we'll leave here knowing who you are and that you've always got our back, God. In Jesus' name.
You unravel me with with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yes. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let us sing our freedom. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you, Father. We're a child of you, Father. We thank you. We give you praise this morning, Father. In Jesus' name.
You know, those, whatever we follow that I am with determines everything in our life. I am dot, dot, dot. And what we put in that dot, dot, dot means everything. And got a feeling it's going to be a little different this morning. I want to talk to you. I try not. I think I do pretty good job at not preaching at you on Sunday mornings. Would you agree with that? I don't do that. You may think I do. You just needed to hear that. I want to talk to you. I want us to communicate this morning on a spiritual level that I am my past, my present, and my future. The most important of that is your present, because your present will one day be your past, and your present will one day be your future. So what I'm doing and I'm saying, what I'm thinking in my present is going to be my past, or it's going to be my future. And so wherever I am right now in my life, I am my past, my present, and my future. It's a constant cycle that's going on. How you define your past will determine your present. Past experiences don't shape you. How you define and explain your past experiences shape you. How many have things in their life that you is precious to you because it reminds you of something? I've told the story several many times over the years, but in my office there's two things that remind me of good things. One is a Army Air Corps uniform of my dad's, and Daddy had a third grade education. And in World War II, he went to join the Air Corps, which is today the Air Force. And they said to my daddy, you can't join the Air Force. You need to go join the Army or another branch of the military because you can't pass the test with a third grade education to be a part of the Air Corps. And Daddy said, how do you know I can't pass the test if I don't take it? So they gave him the test and he passed it. He tells me with flying colors. And he became a sergeant with a third grade education in the Air Corps. It reminds me when I look at that, that you can become what you want to become if you think you can become it. It reminds me of the day that he tells me the story in World War II. He's on an island, and when he's on that island, he needed so many points to get off that island. And when they called out all the soldiers that were to leave that island and to be able to go home for a period of time, they didn't call his name out, and he got upset, and he went and asked him. He said, should not I have been on that plane because I have enough points? And they said, yes. They recounted and said, you should have been be on that plane. And that plane went down in Anchorage, Alaska, in a ball of fire and killed everybody on it. Because there's something that's called prayer, and something that he had a mama at home who was praying for him constantly and asking God to protect him and be with him. So it reminds me of the faithfulness of God. There's a set of 45 records that were a man reading the King James Version Bible, and that's how Daddy learned how to read King James Version correctly and do the best he could with what he had, because he went to bed every night listening to those records going over and over and over and over again. And so when I look at those things, it reminds me of the faithfulness of God. It reminds me of if you just put some effort behind it and you just decide and determine to do some things, you can do some things. I love this church. You know, over the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a real change. And I love how the I Am has changed us. I'm loving how the positive thinking's changed us. But, you know, we didn't get here over the last 3 years. This didn't happen over the last 3 years. There's a rich past history of this church that brought us to where we are right now. See, it was years ago, there was a man that came into our midst named Randy Adler, and to say the best is yet to come, well, I had to have, and we had to have a lot of changing of theology to say the best is yet to come. And so he brought us a terminology about optimistic eschatology. Optimistic eschatology. Eschatology is the teaching of the end times or what's going to happen in the end. And so most people have a pessimistic eschatology, and we have an optimistic eschatology. And that optimistic eschatology really began to shape us and change us and to help us see how loving and kind and gracious a Heavenly Father we really do have. And I love our rich history. When I look out here and I see people that, if you knew their past, if you know, you may look at certain people and you see them now and you go, well, they just have it made. I know none of you ever look at anybody else and go, boy, they really got it made. I wish my life was as good as that life. I wish that I hadn't had to go through some things that I've gone through that's really disappointed me and da-da-da-da-da-da. Anybody would know where I'm headed with this? No, you don't. But I'm going to tell you. How many think Dr. Ralph Martin's one of the most positive people you know? Yeah? Well, what if I told you What if I told you there was a time in his life when he went through the most critical, heartbreaking time of his life, and he had to redefine that or he wouldn't be where he is today? That didn't shape him and mold him into who he is today. He redefined that. He decided what definition to put on that experience that he went through in life. What if I told you that Mr. Healthy, Ken Mullis, has gone through some tough times in his life? If he could tell you some heartbreaks he went through in his life, you know, he had to redefine. Those things either were going to shape him or break him. He defined those things. And Margaret defined some things in their life in a different way than most people define things. What if I told you that there's people here that's gone through divorce in the most heart-wrenching, heartbreaking moments of their life who had to redefine that? And they put the definition on it and didn't let the circumstance define itself. Or they try to define it in this way. What if I told you there's some people whose hearts have been just ripped out, thrown down, stomped on, put back in? And yet you look at them today and you couldn't imagine that they ever went through anything like that. Because they took the past and they put the defining moments on it. They didn't let it define them. They defined it. And they believed that all things work together for good to them who love God and them who are called according to His purpose. Corrie ten Boom, I read this week, would read when she's speaking to hundreds and thousands of people, would be looking down the whole time as though she was reading a manuscript. And she would be cross-stitching as she talked. And when she'd get through, she would hold up this cross-stitch. And on the back of it, it doesn't look very pretty. Matter of fact, it's all intertwined and it's just really ugly on the back of it. But when you turn it around and see what happened, you see this beautiful cross stitch that came about, because all things work together for good, them who love God and them who are called according to his purpose. I said all things. All. The Greek word for all is all. Just so you know, the Greek word for all is all. It means everything that ever happened, every good, every bad, every sweet, every ugly, every happy, every unhappy, every sad, every glad, everything in life that has worked out for your good, if you'll let it. Just because it wasn't good doesn't mean it can't work out for the good. Getting quiet in here. First Samuel 17, verse 45. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. I will give your dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." David didn't go into this thing thinking about himself. David didn't go into this thing thinking about himself. He knew there was a rich history. There was a past that's going to come out of this that's going to redefine who God is, who he is, who his family is going to be. I've only had one child. I raised Dusty, and that was just, I believe parenting is just practicing for grandparenting. And it's just a practice run. You really don't do really well at it. I just don't think anybody really does a great job in parenting, be honest with you, Ralph. I really don't. They all screw up. I mean, mess up. And we all just really don't get it right. But grandparenting, we really get it right. We really do. And so somebody asked me the other day, said, I was talking about my grandkids. I was talking about John Henry at this particular time. And he looked at me and he says, "Do your grandkids, are they perfect?" Will was in that moment with me. Wasn't Will who said it. He said, "You think, are your grandkids really that perfect?" I said, "Yep, they really are. I don't know of anything better. They're perfect, but all three of them. They're smart, they're geniuses, they're spiritual. They're just unbelievable." I didn't parent Dusty that way. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't the smartest thing in the world. She wasn't all that they are. But she was. I just didn't declare it.
There it is.
I just didn't declare it like that. I just didn't say it. And I think part of, I'm just meddling right now. I think part of it because we're really not trying to parent them. We're really trying, we think they're a reflection of us. And so we don't want them to embarrass us. Anyway, I'm not. That's how I want a pastor. That's how I want to treat everybody. You all are perfect. You all are wonderful. You all are smart. You all are gracious and kind. You all are just, if you could just see who you really are, wow. You're something else. Tuesdays with Maury was a great book written not long ago. And this guy, Mitch, spent all these mornings with Maury. He was dying of leukemia. And Maury says to Mitch one day, I embrace aging. The truth is, part of me is every age, 3, 5, 37-year-old, I'm 50. I've been all of them. I delight in being a child when it's appropriate to be a child. I delight in being a wise old man when it's appropriate to be a wise old man. I'm every age up to my own. When I first read that a few years ago, I went, somebody finally gets me. Somebody finally gets me. I'm every age. So how old are you, Bjorn? 65? I can be. I'm 30. Because I've been 30, so I'm 30. I'm 2. Sometimes you get around me, you'll think I'm 2. I'm 5. I'm every age I've ever been. Every age I've ever been, that's what I am. And we can take all these things. We are a unique combination of our memories that make us who we are, spiritually, emotionally, relational, and motivationally. I was thinking about you this week, Joy, when I was Mojo Ministries, is because you had the mojo dust to throw on those ball bats and coaching. That past brought you to where you are right now. Now, you wouldn't have thought, when you was doing that, you wouldn't have thinking one day I'm going to have a ministry called Mojo Ministries because I'm throwing dirt on a bat, right? But something was happening. Something was going on. How many times you think Abraham maybe went up to Mount Moriah and just stood at Mount Moriah remembering what happened that day? I bet Peter got on a boat and went out on the Sea of Galilee, and the best he could tell without a GPS back then was, I think it was right here I walked on water. No, but you sank. No, I walked on water. You asked Peter. I guarantee you Peter wouldn't say, well, I sank. I bet he'd first tell you, I walked on water. I walked on water. I bet Paul went on the road to Damascus many times, and he stopped in an old dirt road, and he stood there and reflected and remembered the bright light. So I'll never forget this day. See, these are memories. Goliath moved closer to attack, and David quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling, hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. So you just kind of read that real quick and go, he killed a giant with a sling and a stone. That's all he had. It ain't what you have. It's what you do with what you have. My daddy said to me one time, he said to me, gazillion times, it ain't how much money you got, son, it's what you do with the money you got. Over and over. He used to tell me, do you know why you get sick? Because you eat out so much. He'd tell, if I would just quit eating, people, daddy told me, if people just stopped eating out, people wouldn't get so sick. Yeah. He was a smart man. At 50 years old, he was debt-free, didn't owe a penny to anybody, never made a lot of money, but carried $1,000 in his billfold cash all the time. You know why? Because if he came up on something he wanted to buy, he knew if he flashed that cash out, they'd look at that cash. They say, I want 600, he'd show them 400 bills, and they'd go, well, I take it. It's not what you have, it's what are you going to do with what you have? What are you going to do? He ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath. David used to kill him and cut his head off. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from somewhere as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the Israelite army returned and plundered and deserted Philistines' camp. David took the Philistines' head to Jerusalem, but he stored the man's armor in his own tent. We ended with that last week, but I looked this up. That armor weighed 125 pounds. He carried that around with him all the time. Every time he moved that tent, he picked up that 125 pounds of armor and moved it with him. You know why, don't you, Billy? He was going to remember what happened to that man. He's going to remember that my life's being formed and shaped because of that right there. But he knew he didn't win it when he went and fought Goliath. He won it in the shepherd field. He won that battle watching over the sheep. Primary reason we lose faith is we forget. And we have a tendency to remember what we should forget. And we forget what we should remember. I've told two people this over my lifetime. I said, you're one of the most smartest people I've ever met in my life. I don't know how you can remember all the bad things that happened to you. You can recall every bad thing that ever happened to you. Can you recall the good things that happened to you? I read this. It's this. I want to talk to you. We either romanticize our past or we catastrophize our past. In other words, we all make our past, even the good things, we always... How many of y'all know it's a little better than it really was? You know, or you go the other way and you make it really worse than it really was. How we define those things mean everything. We have three types of memories. Our sensory memory, which is fleeting. Our short term, what we wore, what we ate, what we watched yesterday. Or our long term, the memories that really shape us. See, fleeting sensory things really don't have an effect on your life. Short-term memory, if I ask you what you had for lunch yesterday, if you thought for a moment, you could tell me. But if I ask you what you had for lunch 2 months ago the same day, no way you'd tell me. But I guarantee you there's some things that you can remember because they had deep emotional ties to it, good or bad. Good or bad. They're deep feelings of emotions. We have to be good stewards of our memories. We've got to learn how to delete the bad. Hello. And keep the good. Our memories to either empower us to live or imprison us to live by fear. I had a thought this week, Raph, you're going to like this. People talk about one day having this glorified body. How many know the Bible says one day we're going to have a new body? Okay, we are. just so you know, this body you have now is not the body you're going to have. You're going to have this celestial, spiritual body. It's going to be what they call a glorified body. It can't be hurt. It can't be. It has no pain. It can't get sick. It's a glorified body. How many believe that? Okay. You know what is in that body? A mind. So that means I'm going to have a glorified mind. Most people just think about, I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to feel good. I'm at this body. What about a glorified mind? What about a mind that can think only good? What about a mind that can remember only good? What about a mind that can look over the past history and go, wow, I'm glad that happened. That molded me and made me into who I am. Redefine your past experiences if they were bad. Delete them. Get rid of them and just think about the good ones. If you think about a bad one, think about it and how it helped you become who you are. Let it change you. I went through a divorce. How are you going to define it? You're going to blame them? You're going to blame the circumstance? You're going to blame yourself? You're going to blame others? What does it matter? It is what it is. It happened, it happened. Worrying about things is not going to change things. That's why he said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Sufficient today is the problems you got. Just take care of today. Just be in the present. I forgot who said that. It was, I done gone here, so I got to tell you. Bill Clinton said, Bill Clinton, he wrote a book after he got out of the presidency. He said, everybody when they get 50 years old ought to write their autobiography. He says, because in writing it, you will see all the things that have happened in your life and how it brought you to where you are right now. And I wrote an autobiography of my life. I'm going to read it to you. It won't take long. It's my autobiography. Under 20, I really can't tell you. It was just my playing years, crazy years, fun years. All I wanted to do is have fun. All I want to do is have some fun. And so that was my life. Still is. It carried on over to now I'm 65 years old. And all that fun I had as a kid and all those memories. And I can think back, and every time I think back at those fun times, I have the same feelings I had when I was 10 years old. I'm fun. Was it made a difference in your life today? Absolutely. Because I still have fun. My 20s were my formative years. I was just going into the ministry and studying. Just my formative years. Why? I drive over on High Falls Road every now and then and look at that church building over there. That's where I went to college, Keith. That's where I graduated. It's where I got my doctorate. Yes, sir. It's where I got it, right over there on High Falls Road. And I still remember those formative years. Still remember building my bookshelf and getting some bricks and getting some 1x10s and just building my bookshelves and starting my library. Still remember all that. Still remember buying the books. Still remember when I go into a bookstore, I never went in without praying and asking God, let me buy the right book. Lead me to the right book. I don't want to read some stuff that's going to not be true and not really help me. Help me find the right book. It's my formative years. My 30s was my intriguing years. I was just intrigued with everything I remember in ministry. My 40s, they were my wondering years. I was wondering what the heck's going on. I had all of this history and all of this past, and I was wondering, what does it really mean? What is it doing in my life? And I couldn't see then as much as I can see now, but all of those things was working together for the good. It was all coming together for the good. It was all making me who I am. My 50s was my stabilizing years. Just getting stable. My 60s has been my most fulfilling years of my life. They're my reflective. I'm so fulfilled I can't begin to tell you how fulfilled I am. And one of the reasons I can do that today, and you can do this today, is you have to decide how you're going to define your past. Because how you define your past is defining your present and defining your future. How are you going to define it? I want to define it the way David defined his. David didn't define his based upon his brother saying, you're nothing but an errand boy. He didn't define it with his daddy saying, you're just a shepherd boy. He didn't let anybody define who he was. He decided to define who he was. you have that same responsibility and privilege to define who you are. No matter all the good, all the bad, all the horrible, the worst things you can think of in your past, either going to make you or break you. But you choose to define it. You can live in regret all your life. You can live in blame and guilt. And God doesn't want you to do that. Doesn't want you to do that. Wants you to know you're forgiven. You're blessed. And all you have to do is choose, I'm going to remember all the good things. All the good things. And those are the ones that I've chosen to have ingrained in my mind. My daddy wasn't a perfect father, but to me he was. Because in my mind, all I can remember is the good stuff. All I remember is the good things that he put there. And so when I think of him today, I have only good thoughts. I choose not to remember the beatings. Choose not to remember the day I came in, senior in high school, brought his truck back, and he said, where you been with my truck? I said, oh, Daddy, we went and got this big old rock, and we cemented it in the school and put class of 69 on it. And he was the superintendent of the Spalding County bus. So when I told him what we did, he pulled out a belt and whammed me many times. Many times. Oh, I'll never forget that beating. It was severe. Today is child abuse. It was severe. I'm going somewhere with this story, though. So that Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, he goes to the bus shop. And the principal of high school, Mr. Cody, went to the bus shop. And he was talking to the people at the bus shop. He walked up to my daddy and he was talking. He said, man, I'm so proud of what this class of 69 boys did. Instead of painting on the walls, instead of putting graffiti somewhere, they got this big old rock and they put it, and they painted on that rock, class of 69. I'm so proud of them. Well, you can just imagine how Daddy was feeling. That's my boy. No, he was melting. He was melting. And so the same daddy that Sunday afternoon almost let me see Jesus face to face came home Monday and walked, I'll never forget it. And he walked up to me and grabbed me and hugged me and cried. Said, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I will never touch you again. I'm so, so sorry. That's what I remember. I really don't. I'm exaggerating the beating. I really don't remember it, Penny. I really don't. I mean, I do, but I don't. You know what I'm saying? But I remember the love. Remember the forgiveness. See, what you need to remember about your sins and bad shortcomings, not them. You need to remember the forgiveness and the mercy that was given to you. The mercy that was poured out to you. And what will happen, you'll see that all those things that you thought were going to hinder you and hurt you is going to help you and shape you. Define it the way God defines it. It doesn't justify anything, but you got to define it right. You got to define it the way it needs to be defined. And if you do it, you will be redefined into who you really are. Let's stand together for a moment. you to think for a moment. This is a drill. I want you to think for a moment of maybe some of the worst things that ever happened to you in your life. And I want you to just think it for a fleeting moment, because what I want you to do, I want you to hit a delete button on that and choose. You know, from this day, I'm not... Do y'all remember what remember means? You won't forget stuff. Your brain is unbelievable. You can't forget things. You can't. God never said He forgets your sins. He forgives your sins, and He chooses to remember them no more. He didn't forget them, but He chooses not to go into the depths of the sea, pull them up, and put them back together. Remember them. When you're remembering it, you're putting it back together. He chooses not to remember you that way, but see you the way you are. Stop remembering stuff. Stop. We have a thing in fantasy football that this guy caused to come about. Because he analyzed everything so much, and finally one day, I think who said it? You got paralysis of the analysis. You're paralyzing yourself by analyzing everything. Man, you paralyze yourself when you analyze everything in your past. Choose to redefine it. This is not going to hurt me. It's not going to devastate me. It's going to help me. I'm going to become something out of that. Good. Because God said all things work together for good to them who love God and called according to His purpose. So we can choose. We can choose. I've got some bad things in my past. But I have a delete button. And I hit that delete button if it comes up. Delete. Delete. And rethink. And replace with something good. That's what it's about, church. That's what it's about. If you're here, and you are, and there's been something in your past that's haunted you for a long time, would you just step out in the aisle where you are, and we're going to help you to delete that and replace that. There's just something. You can recall it. Anything. Just step out in the aisle and say, I'm not going to let that define me from this moment on. I'm going to put a different explanation on that. I'm going to choose to redefine that. I'm going to choose to redefine that. And some of you who are standing close to them, would you just gather around them and just place your hand on their shoulder and just bless them. Just bless them. Bless them with what you have now. Bless them with the ability to delete, replace it with the good stuff, to be able to say, I am now this, not because of that, in spite of that. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. I'm not going to let it define me. I'm going to give a different explanation to it. Remember, and I'm sure it's not in here, that's why I can't remember it, but David would write his psalms and tell his stories. He never one time in his psalms and in his stories and his history ever said anything about his brothers. Never said anything about his brother. Never said they thought I was an errand boy. Never said anything about his father. Why didn't you bring me in when Samuel was here? Never said anything about his daddy, thinking he was just a shepherd boy and wouldn't think he could be king. He didn't talk about that. Nowhere. He didn't talk about that. Talked about the goodness of the Lord. Talked about, I'm young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. And that's why. Huh. That's why in Psalm 139, one of my favorite writes, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God, that cannot be numbered. They outnumber the grain of the sand by the sea. Your good thoughts toward me, God, outnumber the sand. Then he said this, O God, if you would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. And I shared this before, but man, all of a sudden he just, where are you going, dude? You just talked about the goodness of the Lord, and now you're saying, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. But what he was saying, well, get rid of these thoughts in my mind that I don't want these thoughts in my mind. They're murderers. They're my enemies, and I'm going to choose to delete them and get rid of them and think about the goodness of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Think about those things. Amen. Think about those things and your life would be different. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God. Say, I am who God says I am. And you are who God says you are.
You may be seated. This praise team is coming, and our ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. You can go ahead and begin receiving that. If you have your connection card already filled out, make sure you drop that in the bucket as it comes by. That's a great way for you to communicate with us. If you're visiting for the very first time, we'd love to follow up with you with an email or a text, so you can put that information there, and we will do that. Thank you for everyone who has signed up for working at the Dock Holiday Festival this weekend. It is, yes, we have all that we need as far as volunteers. You can still come out and enjoy, though. You can buy stump smoker tickets, baby stump. They're $5, but there's lots of things that are going on. The youth will be early, 6:30 in the morning on Saturday. They're going to be bussing tables at breakfast and receiving benefits of that. So lots of things going on with that. Enjoy the day on Saturday. Love for you to be a part. Let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house to worship you. Lord, that we can give and we can receive. Thank you, Lord, for the words that are imparted to our lives. Lord, use these offerings, Father, Lord, to touch people's lives in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Stand and worship. One more time.
Higher than mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains, your love never fails, it never gives. never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me, your love.
Have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.